Blog Talk Radio.
The good old days. Well, maybe not so much. In the past, few career options were available for women. School teacher, nurse, homemaker. If you weren't happy with those options, you were out of luck. Women have unlimited options today. Women have proven they can successfully perform just about every job, including trucking. The door to a career in trucking is wide open. The fact you are listening to a podcast created by The Real Women in Trucking on a network devoted to women truck drivers is proof. More and more women are behind the wheel of a big rig every day. Why are so many women choosing a career in driving? Well, for qualified drivers, good jobs are there for the taking. Trucking companies like Redaway are eager to hire qualified drivers. Women are now an integral part of the trucking industry. New technologies help too. We're breaking down barriers so women can succeed in this industry. At Redaway, we have a variety of driving positions available. Linehaul drivers are never away from home more than 3 nights a week. They travel 11 western states and into Canada. Pickup and delivery drivers are needed throughout our system. P&D drivers are home every night. We provide the training needed to make you successful. If you are looking for a truck driving career with a true work-life balance, driving for Redaway may be just what you are looking for. Whatever kind of driving interests you, whether you're a qualified driver or new to the industry, we're interested in you. Redaway is an industry leader with good pay, a comprehensive benefit package, premium free insurance, training, and support to help you succeed. Learn more about driving for Redaway by visiting redawayregional.com/careers or call 503-885-5618. Start traveling the road to success. Join Team Redaway.
All right. So good evening, everybody. This is Desiree, and I have not used the live version of our show for some time. We've been using our conference call line because it's been making it a lot easier for us. Idella, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, I sure can. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Awesome. Good. So far, so good. So we got that new commercial from Redaway, which I've been using in the beginning of our podcast. And we also have a public service announcement from the Truckers Against Trafficking. I'm going to play at about the halfway mark. And tonight we are going to be speaking with Indiana State Police Officer Brett Hoover. And I heard about him. You told me you'd heard of him before, but I had not heard of him since I was on the Chrome and Steel radio show with the guys up in Canada and heard him talking. And I was just really like, wow, this guy is really cool. And I wish he was, you know, more accessible. So I reached out to him on Facebook and talked to him for a little bit. And well, I just think what he's doing is great, to be reaching out to the drivers, trying to teach them a little bit more about how to get a better inspection. So I'm going to give us our little introduction here. Sandy's running a little bit late. She was getting her truck out of the shop tonight, so she'll be back on soon. And I see that our guest is on the line on hold, and I'll get with you in just a second. But I want to make a couple of announcements. Our conference call that we usually use weekly, the number changed. So if you're one of the women that joins our weekly phone conferences, make sure you get in contact with one of us so that you can get that updated number. I'm not sure why they changed it, but they did. The access code remained the same. This is the Women Truckers Network. It is the first radio program hosted by actual women truck drivers. It's a feature of the Real Women in Trucking. We are a 501c6 driver organization. And we're all over social media. You can find us on Facebook as Real Women Truckers, YouTube and Blog Talk Radio. Just search for Women Truckers Network. We call it WTN. So if you hear WTN, that's what we're talking about. If you'd like to be notified of any of our conference calls or news or anything, you can sign up for text alerts. You can do that from our website, www.wtn.com. www.realwomenintrucking.org. At the lower left, you will see a widget there that says text alerts. You can unsubscribe at any time if it becomes a bother. We hope that you won't. Let me tell you about our mission. Our mission is to empower the women of trucking and those entering the industry through outreach programs, continuing education, advocacy, mentoring, networking, and ongoing support to promote retention, encouragement, and unity between both new and seasoned drivers. We have a new sponsor to announce this week, Core-Mark. They are one of the largest distributors and marketers of consumer goods in North America, and they've been around for over 100 years. They have 29 divisions across the U.S. and Canada, so welcome to them. Right away, we're going to play their, we just did play their commercial at the beginning, and that was an actual driver that you heard there talking. I wish she would have said that in the recording. But they serve 11 northwestern states and one Canadian province. They have a sister company by the name of USF Holland. So check out the trucking classified section on our website. And there's some new job listings there. And a lot of them are local jobs and hourly pay. There's some OTR jobs. For the owner-operators, we want to draw your attention to a special offer from Trucker's Edge powered by the DAT Load Board. You can use promo code 584 for one free month, and you can find more information on that also on our website in the lower right where it says Find DAT Loads. We will get on now with our show and introduce our guests. Indiana State Police Officer Brent Hoover. Are you there, Brent? Officer Hoover.
Hello. Good evening. Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. How are you?
Oh, just fine, just fine. Thank you for inviting me here this evening.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, when did this all start? Well, how long have you been in law enforcement?
Okay, well, I've been in law with the Indiana State Police a little over 11 years now. My official title, senior trooper. Once you hit the 10-year mark, you become a senior trooper on our agency. The last 6 years, I've been in our commercial vehicle enforcement division. Basically, it's Indiana's version of an armed law enforcement, DOT enforcement. So, and that's covered by the Indiana State Police. And I'm currently assigned out of the Putnamville ISP district, which is on the west central side of the state, basically around Terre Haute, Indiana.
Okay. All right. So your focus is on truck vehicle enforcement. And
Correct.
So, but it's not like the Department of Transportation. You're in a marked vehicle.
Yes. Right. I'm in a full marked state police car. And correct. I'm with the Indiana State Police, and the Indiana State Police in the state of Indiana is tasked with commercial vehicle enforcement for the state.
Okay. So, so tell us, how did it come about that you started working with the truckers, which it sounds like you've been working with them for a long time. Are they already got their guard up when you approach them? I mean, I know I hear a lot. Some people say, well, if they want to find something wrong, they're going to find something wrong, even if you're, you know, like there. I always hear that, and my personal experience has always been a positive experience. But I've heard a lot of drivers that they're just like, they're on the fight already. And I wonder what year is that, what made you want to have the approach that you do?
Well, yes, you are correct. I think every driver, as soon as you turn the lights on and you're stopping them, I mean, that's just human nature to be defensive. Oh gosh, what did I do wrong now? That type mentality. But no, like I said, I've been in our division about 6 years now, and in the last couple years, I just started noticing the division between the trucking industry and the enforcement side of it, and just noticed that, you know, if you try to treat them right, there's a lot of good drivers out there, and they're just like me. I mean, they're working, they're supporting a family, they're really good people. So I've always treated anybody I come in contact with the best that I can. But here in the past, couple years, just with Facebook and social media, I've gotten to kind of make contacts with my local companies, local drivers, started kind of friending them on Facebook and realizing that was just a good tool to show them that, hey, you know, law enforcement, we're a bunch of good guys as well. And our ultimate goal is safety at the end of the day.
Okay, great. And so has it, do you think that other like jurisdictions or other law enforcement agencies, like either within the state or out of the state, are kind of like taking notes or you're going, you know, maybe this might be a good approach to sort of, you know, bring everybody together and say, you know, we're not on different sides. We're all trying to like get home safe at the end of the day here.
That would be my goal from this, but like a lot of things in the industry, there's a lot of people set in their ways. There's a lot of states that are set in their ways. There's definitely a lot of jurisdictions that, you know, when the new hires come in, it's kind of the old mantra, listen up, Brooke, this is the way we've always done it, so this is the way you need to do it. And I was kind of, you know, I was kind of noticing that a little bit in my, you know, here's the way we've always done it, this is the way you do it. You know, and I just kind of was like, you know what, I think the old mantra, you can attract more bees with honey. You know, I noticed that using my approach, I at least in my area, necessarily enforcement, but more drivers taking notice, drivers doing a better job, hopefully trying to make things safer by doing it a little different. I wish I was in a better position to promote that, but the local folks around me have noticed and so hopefully they are kind of trying to do it a little different. So
yeah, so let me ask you, and let me tell you from my point of view,
mm-hmm.
because we had like sort of a little pre-conversation before we scheduled this show, and I started driving in 2007, and you know, part of my very quick schooling and 4 or 5 weeks was the first 2 weeks we did the inspection over and over and over again without an instructor, by the way. We had to teach ourselves.
Oh yeah.
And and we made up a little way that we would teach ourselves so that we could pass it. And then when we went to our training carriers and we got on our trucks with our trainers didn't really do an inspection anymore. So all of those things, I personally was so proud that I could name all of these different parts of the engine. She never did that anymore. So of course you lose practice on it and you have to keep doing it or you forget the names of those things. And then you get pulled over and someone wants you to name it and you forgot the name. Do you see that a lot with the new drivers that they're a little befuddled?
Yes. I do see that. And just like what you're saying, you know, you go through training school or, you know, you go through whatever and they get you down to where, you know, and I mean, I was doing a talk at a company and one of the head instructors was like, well, can we take you out in the bay and show you how we're training our students to do it? And I said, yeah, absolutely. And they, you know, this fresh, you know, had his Class A learner's permit and everything else. And the instructor was all, or the trainer that was had been training this individual was all proud. So he was going, you know, naming each and every part and this and that and that and that and that. And you know, it was impressive. But then when he got done after 25 minutes of running through exactly what he needed to know on the CDL free trip, I asked him, I was like, well, what about this? And just getting that blank stare. And, And you know, there is a little bit of difference between what you're doing for your CDL, what you should be doing every day, and what we're looking for roadside. And that's where I think I try to make the biggest impact on these drivers is don't forget your basics. You know, I get a lot of companies, a lot of drivers ask me, hey, Mr. Hoover, what can we do to improve our CSA score, our roadside inspections? And it's like, get back to the basics. Focus on your good pre-trips, you know, and just like you were talking, you know, you got out, an instructor did it a little different, or maybe, you know, and they're stuck in that routine of, well, I've done it already. Why do I need to do it, you know, do it constantly? So you're exactly right. And I think if anybody learns anything from me this evening, it's just kind of get back to the basics. You know, mm-hmm. grab your flashlight, grab your hammer, your tire thumper, get in there and just really look around once in a while. And just really, you know, get familiar with your truck. And then especially, and I tell people this all the time, they kind of look at me funny, but I'm like, if you send your truck in for service, don't assume that they looked at anything. If you said, oh, you know, send it in for service, and oh, by the way, I've got an issue here, they might take care of that issue and nothing else. Don't assume that they've done anything else, because we get more trucks coming into the scales at Terre Haute, and they, oh, I'm all excited, you know, my truck just came from the shop, and then we're finding out of service violations on it. They're just flabbergasted. And it's like, well, you know, you contracted them to change the oil and grease. You didn't contract them to do anything else. So that's the biggest thing, is just getting back to those basics and really doing a good thorough pre-trip.
What do you see most often? Like you were talking on the Chrome and Steel show about some of the local mm-hmm. drivers a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess do you find this the local drivers, or are they more, you know, they get more comfortable with their truck, or you see them more often, or they run them a little bit harder?
I think there's two ways to look at it. And I'm going to refer to my area in my case, just because obviously that's what but when I moved up here about a little over three years ago, there wasn't a strong DOT presence. In fact, I remember getting out there my first couple weeks and having drivers go, who are you? You know, I've never heard of you. And, you know, are you a rookie? No, I'm not a rookie. I've been on the department, you know, 7-8 years. I just moved to the area. My wife was from the area. We moved back home. And the local companies, of course, you know, just like the instructors, they laxed off a little bit. Well, your locals, if they're not constantly getting looked at, or there's not that idea, there's an inspector out there, they're going to let things slide. Well, we'll get that tire next week, or we're going to order tires next month. We'll do it then. Same thing with the over-the-road truck. Just a little bit different. You know, how many times have you driven across country, maybe never saw one DOT, and then boom, you wake up that morning and it happens. Just like we're maintenance, you know, their shops are stretched out. Well, we'll try to, you know, yeah, you're out in wherever, Arizona, and our shop's in Tennessee, so why don't you just wait and try to get it back to Tennessee before we fix it here? So I don't think it. And you had asked, is there anything specific that I find? No, not really. I've seen a lot. I'm not going to say I've seen everything, because there's always that day I find something new, and I'm like, huh, I have never seen that before. So I just kind of add that to my mental library. And then it's kind of, I feel bad for the driver I'm inspecting that day, because now I've got 6 years experience compared to those guys I was looking at my first year, that I was even like, oh gosh, you know, what's this, what's that, what's it do? So mm-hmm. as far as, you know, and two, this may seem kind of backwards, but for us, just like, you know, anybody else that's doing a job, it's kind of neat and interesting to run across those new things that we find. But,
can you think of an example of a something that you came across that was new to you?
Yes. Oh, what was it? Oh, the other day I was. I may have to come back to that, because it's one of those you ask me and I can't remember. But kind of And it's something I was wanting to mention. You know, when I mention these things, and the vast 90% of the things that we're finding or that I'm finding is stuff that if the drivers are doing a thorough pre-trip, that they would see. Hoses rubbing, tires bad, brakes thin. You know, and I mean, yeah, we get underneath and we find occasional, you know, U-joint bolts loose, stuff like that, and just different things of that nature that we need a pit or we need to crawl under, you know, something that you as a driver, you're not going to be going, okay, it's time to do my pre-trip, time to pull out the coveralls, I'm climbing underneath, and, you know, at least 80% of the stuff I'm finding and the vast majority of our services are just your basic topside stuff. Going back to something I found the other day was an airline, an emergency airline was totally broken off the brake chamber, you know, and I as we talked before, I kind of joke around with drivers' companies and say, you know, I kind of pride myself, I got a redneck engineering degree. You know, that means I got enough common sense to look at something and say, well, that's broken and it's corroded. So it being corroded means it didn't just happen. So when the driver looks at me with that deer in the headlight look and goes, it must have just happened. No, it didn't just happen. You know, I can put a little bit of my redneck engineering degree together to say, no, I don't think so. It's been like that. But, you know, we've seen frame cracks in unusual places. Like I said, airlines completely broken off. I have not yet found, it's one of my bucket list items, is getting a truck in with no brake drum. I've seen pictures of missing brake drums. I saw there's a pretty good one floating around here recently where somewhere a company or a driver, somebody stuck a couple bricks in because an airbag went bad. That would be cool, but no, I'm not really sure I got a holy grail type of violation yet, but at the end of the day, you know, somebody may be listening to this going, gosh, he's kind of a jerk, you know, he gets off on finding all this stuff, but it's just any job you do, you know, you have your stuff, your goals, and basically kind of what makes you tick, and at the end of the day, it's safety. You know, I talk about my area. I get real defensive if somebody implies there was a CMV accident in my area because it's like, darn it, I work hard on this stretch of highway. My family runs this highway. My friends, I don't want there to be a CMV accident on this highway. And I sure as heck don't want it to be one of my locals that I've stopped 3 or 4 times and got them squared away. So.
Yeah, I agree. You know, we do all have, you know, everybody wants to get to home safe. Idella, did you have a comment?
I do have a comment, but I do have a couple of questions that might be interesting to the rolling drivers out there that might help some of the newer drivers to understand what the officers are looking for.
Oh, absolutely. Please do.
Well, and let me preface this by saying that I've been out here rolling up and down the road for over 40 years myself. So I don't know if I'm an old lady or just an old hand. I'm rolling in a group of trucks, say 10 or 12 trucks that are lined up through there, rolling down through there. What is it that makes you pull me out of a pack and look at me other than just the random check, other than speeding? Now, I know, you know, if I'm speeding down the road, you're going to say, wait a minute, you need to slow down. But what is it out of 10 or 15 trucks that pass you on the road makes you pick that particular truck out and pull him over for an inspection and a talk?
Well, there's two things. The first one's dumb luck. Any meeny, miny, mo, that one. That's kind of the random you talked about. But and we've got ways now where we can run DOT numbers, stuff like that, and say it's a variety of mixed trucks, we can run DOT numbers and see who's got the highest safety rating or may need a little more attention. But the dumbed down version that I like the best is I'm looking, I'm watching, I'm listening. I love warmer weather because I sit there along the road, and it happened real nice a couple weeks ago. I was sitting there, my favorite little spot along the road, had my window down. It was a nice morning, and I heard the trucks are just going by left and right, left and right. Well, then here comes one telltale thump, 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 thump. I could tell, wait a minute, something doesn't sound right. Got cut up to me. Sure enough, axle 5 left. Outside tire was totally flat. Spoke to the driver. He had no idea it occurred, and we got it taken care of. And then it just so happens is where I'm standing there saying, okay, bud, you need to go up there, get off the road, contact service company. Here comes another semi right by, flat tire, smoking. And I'm like, well, bud, there's my next one. And he said, hey, see you, officer, have a good day. I said, I'll probably be bringing him to you here in a few minutes. And then got another flat tire. Differences is, you know, this is the first driver. He had no clue. He was loaded real light, so it wasn't putting a lot of pressure on that bad tire. The other one went up. The driver said, yeah, I knew about it. I was just, you know, trying to make it to Terre Haute. It's like, well, but you're still traveling 60 miles an hour. You're smoking. You know, that's far more dangerous of a situation and what some of these drivers, and since I'm on the subject of flat tires, I tell drivers, if you're coming up my stretch of road, you're doing 35 miles an hour on the shoulder, got your four ways, limping your truck, me personally, I am not going to do an inspection, and I'm not going to place you out of service because you were actively slow, trying to find a safe location, and you knew about the problem. And with the way CSA is, and you guys are well aware of that, any violations we find are points against you and your company. So the way I look at it is with these severity points, I'm kind of looking at it as, okay, does this company truly deserve it? You know, me, like I said, that in that situation, hey, bud, we found him a safe location. Guy pulled off the road. He goes, are you going to give me an inspection, put me out? And I said, no, you were trying to do the right thing. I'm going to reward you with that. Oh, well, thank you. And then when that other one comes by doing 60, 65 miles an hour, chunks of rubber flying everywhere, and tells me, yeah, I knew about it, then it's kind of like, well, why didn't you pull over? Why didn't you slow down? Why didn't you do that? So, but going back to your original question, how do we decide? Everybody's different. I just kind of pick and choose and go with one. Some of the other inspectors kind of joke around with me. They go, you're like you got spidey sense or something. You just sense something wrong with the truck. And I say, well, you know, and my sergeant, he's called me Hoovy Dog before. He goes, you're like a dog. You just sense out this violation. So I'm like, well, you just get lucky sometimes. But there's really no rhyme or reason as to why a truck stopped. I mean, you got your politically correct answer of speeding, seatbelt, following too close, which minimum following distance, state of Indiana for CMV vehicles is 300 feet. You know, were they maintaining 300 feet? Were they on their phone texting, cell phone, just things like that. And then there's my way of going, well, I've never seen your truck before. I want to stop and take a look at it. So that's more or less the lengthy answer on what you asked. My apologies, but.
And that was great because I have, been off on a Highway 8 and had the officer say, I've never seen your truck before. I have had a mm-hmm. very distinct truck. I'm going to look you over. So, okay, mm-hmm. now you've pulled me mm-hmm. over and you said, okay, I was looking for somebody with purple mud flaps. You got purple mud flaps. You're it today. So mm-hmm. you pulled me over mm-hmm. and we're going to do an inspection. And I have my logbook program in my laptop, DDLS.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
say I printed day before yesterday's, but I haven't printed yesterday's. You're looking at my laptop.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have mine signed. I've got the signature in the laptop. But say I don't mm-hmm. have the signature on there. What are you going to say mm-hmm. to me when I open up the laptop to show you the printed logs that I have? And maybe I haven't printed, like I said, for 2 days. What are you going to say to me? What are you mm-hmm. looking for?
Well, and again, it comes down to officer discretion on everything. Some officers, if you've got the capability to print those missing sheets and sign them right there, they'll request you print them and sign them right there. I kind of joke around with some of the older guys, you know, you guys need to catch up with technology, and they, oh, you're just a pup, you know, hush up. But and then my thing is, with all the electronic log stuff, if it's current, you've got everything operational, you know exactly how to get to it, you know what you're doing, all your out, everything's meshing to me. In my opinion, there's no violation there. But like I said, with that, the regulations, the way they're worded, is the officer could request a printed copy and have those hands signed and all and that type of thing. But to me, my biggest thing is driver attitude. If I got a good working attitude, you know, I try to approach everybody with a good attitude. If you know, in that situation, I've stopped you because today is Purple Mud Flap Day. You've got the Purple Mud Flap, and you present me that scenario, and everything's current. I'm in my opinion, there's no violation there. But like I said, other inspectors, other states, other jurisdictions can have different interpretations in what they're looking for. But the big thing is you've got them printed, you've got them signed, and it's just a matter of hitting print and having them following your yesterday's, as you put it, printed and right there. So.
Oh, great answer. Thank you. I appreciate that. Oh, and I have been stopped for my Purple Mud Flap. So this is your lucky day.
Well, I'll tell you what. Me and an inspector at the scales, we were working there one Friday, and we had just gotten in the pattern. We were looking at flatbed. And he goes, it's flatbed Friday, isn't it? You know, or someone came in and goes, what do you guys stop today? We're like, flatbed. No, flatbed Friday. And it's like, well, yeah, makes sense. But, no, and there are days that, yeah, Purple Mud Flaps, or we pick something, you know, hey, I'm going to early morning. Everybody's got their headlights on. First one with a headlight out, I'm going to stop, take a closer look at it. So that was that, I like that Purple Mud Flap. That was good.
Well, what about, I think maybe we talked about this on the phone together, but maybe I heard it somewhere else, because I've been using those logs that Idella, you told me about, and I use it on my phone, not on my laptop. And if you asked to see that and I gave you my phone, I gave you permission to look at everything on my phone. Is that true or false?
I would go false, because what we're looking at, well, basically, and I'm going to use the app Big Road. Are you ladies familiar with Big Road, the phone app?
I'm
familiar with several of the logbook programs, mm-hmm. several of them.
Yeah.
I was going to say,
so far, when people have asked me about Big Road, and even our agencies come out and give us some specifics on each one, basically, when we're looking at it, the only thing, in my opinion, the officer should be looking at, because as far as texting cell phones, we've got an Indiana state law that says officers are not allowed to be basically looking through your phone at the scene. If we feel that we need that, we need to get that subpoenaed. So with that being said, what you asked, in my opinion, if you're handing that inspector, we need to only be looking at the logs. You know, what are we there for? The log books. We shouldn't be snooping around on anything else. But typically, when it comes to the phone apps and stuff, some of them have a real nice feature, and even Qualcomm's PeopleNet, stuff like that, they got real nice features of fax or email. And we have internet access in the car to where all of our programs. So being up at there, even if it's Big Road, I can have to say, driver, do you mind if I email these to my email address? Oh, no, go ahead. And then I can give them my email address. And then by the time I get back to my car, 9 times out of 10, the whole previous 7 days, the current day, is sitting waiting for me. And for me to go through on my computer, and then I got everything I need. But as far as your initial question, you know, you hand the phone over, a lot of them have push inspect, and it'll run us right through all the logs, all the hours that we need to see. But Big Road, right, one I've run across more than once. And as far as user-friendly on my end, and I've even
downloaded the app on my phone and played with it and drove around and checked some of the features out, which I should probably contact them and see if they can give me a deal or something to promote their product. But like I said, I like it as far as being user-friendly, and then they're even, so with everything starting to go electronic log, it's but pretty well. And then the big reminder is if you do have something like Qualcomm PeopleNet, some sort of software that's hooked into the truck, the drivers do need to be aware. They do need to have an instruction pamphlet of some kind and plenty of spare log sheets. That's something that on the electronic log that we're finding some smaller companies or some companies are forgetting to tell drivers that they need. So it's a little public service announcement on here. You know, if you got systems like that, make sure you have the instruction manual and spare logbook sheets. Those are required in the 395.15 regs
as far as
electronic on. So that's how we kind of get the word out that,
yeah,
that is
we do.
That we're looking for.
So
you have to have the I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well,
talk more about this because I've never used e-logs myself.
Well, in this situation, I got a real good education on it in the instruction book. But you got to understand, if your e-log program goes down, then you have got to get a hold of your company immediately and have them fax you your last 7 days, and then you've got to go to paper logs. You have always have to have some form of way of showing what you've been doing the last 7 days and what you're doing. So
correct.
The officer is completely and totally right. And if you don't have a way to print in your truck or receive email, then you got to go to the truck stop and get that fax before you move. Been there and done that. I appreciate
mm-hmm.
you mentioning that,
mm-hmm.
officer. I really do.
Yeah.
So
like I said, that's something hopefully someone hears that and go, ooh, maybe next time I'm at a pilot or wherever, maybe I should grab me some loose leaves or have them in the truck. Because there was one instance that ran across the driver. She was fairly new. Asked her, you know, hey, what happened during this 10-hour block? You know, you went off duty in, say, Gary, Indiana, and all of a sudden when you went back on duty, you were in Newburgh, Indiana. What happened there? Oh, well, my logbook clipped, or, you know, my electronic log went down, yada, yada, yada. Okay, well, where's your, I don't have any spare sheets. Well, where's your, you know, so it's just one of those, that's something with this starting to be something new. We can't forget the little things like having those instructions and
well, that causes a concern to me because we encounter, in fact, our organization deals with a lot of women who are entering trucking, and one of the things that we tell them is don't go to a training carrier that has certain criteria, and one is the e-logs, and it's really hard now because a lot of companies are, that's all they're running is e-logs. So some of them don't even know how to run a paper log.
Oh,
you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's starting to, and I've had the roadside classrooms before where, you know, I get a driver that he's like, you know, in one hand, I'm scared to meet you, but in the other hand, I've got questions. And it's like, tell you what, bud, come on back here. What's your questions about? Logbooks. How do I do this? How do I do that? And, you know, and some inspectors would look at it like, oh, I got this one in the bag. He doesn't know anything. But then I'm also looking at it like this. If I feel like I truly feel that, yes, this is an issue where, and there's even in the regs, I can't spout it off right now, but there's even, you know, in the regs, and I've written this as a violation before because I had a driver, more or less, he's like, well, they didn't train me on it. They just stuck me in the truck, told me to go. I don't know anything about it. He goes, I don't even know how to log on right. Well, there is a regulation that we can write them and the carrier that for not properly training the driver on how to utilize the logs. So, yes, it's one of those deals that if new drivers are coming out, they need to make sure that they are getting trained and ask those questions and making sure that, and then I'm even seeing, you know, companies will read things one way, roadside inspectors, enforcement reads it another way. I've had some questions on personal conveyance and e-logs lately. And different things about that. So that's kind of an interesting little thing that, there's different ideas going around about that.
Yeah, so. I'd really like to get your opinion on that because that is a real confusing one. Okay, but what I want to do first is I want to run this public service announcement from Truckers Against Trafficking.
Yeah.
And when we come back, let's talk about that personal conveyance because I've heard so many variations on it that my head spins. And when some people talk to me about it, I'm like, I don't think you're doing it right. Hold on here, and we're going to listen to this Truckers Against Trafficking public service announcement. Thank you, and we'll be right back.
My son and I were driving through Oklahoma City, had the radio on, and a guy comes on the radio, hey, anybody want any underage girls?
This one, she didn't even look 13, 14 years old. She had a little mini skirt on.
A 14-year-old, 15-year-old, is not doing this on the road, of course.
You have to wonder who's behind them.
They have a pimp or whatever you want to call them, trafficker.
Sex trafficking is a form of modern-day slavery. When traffickers are using force, fraud, or coercion to compel an individual to engage in commercial sex. And traffickers are not only exploiting the victims, but they're also exploiting these locations. Everything from commercial front brothels to residential brothels to hotels and motels to truck stops to street-based prostitution. A lot of exploitation is happening online. That's where a lot of the connections are being made.
Nobody wakes up and says, gosh, I'd really like to sell myself on the streets today. That is something that is being directed by the victimizer, by the trafficker.
Here we are, you know, I'm 15 years old, my cousin's 14, and we're here at a truck stop, you know, being forced to work it, you know, and we're young girls. Terrified out of our minds.
Trucking industry is in a unique position because they actually will be in locations that pimps will bring in their victims.
Truckers Against Trafficking is a grassroots organization. It comes alongside the trucking industry, recognizing that they're the eyes and ears of our nation's highways. They're in places that most people aren't, and that they can recognize potential victims of human trafficking more than the rest of us.
You're talking about a really highly trained group of individuals that are seeing trafficking. They know where to report it. They're reporting it right away. And as a result, we have seen countless victims who've been recovered by law enforcement.
When we talk about who's driving change in this area, we have to talk about the American trucking industry.
Thank God what saved me was that truck driver that called in and said, hey, you know, this is whoever at the truck stop, you know, and we have some girls out here that look pretty young.
Oh, that trucker. The one that made that phone call, boy, I owe him a lot. And if he ever sees this, thank you.
A team truck driver with my husband Bob.
Been a 16-year veteran of over-the-road truck driving.
I've been driving for 26 years.
And I am a trucker against trafficking.
And I'm a trucker against trafficking.
I'm a trucker against trafficking.
And I am a trucker against trafficking.
And we are Truckers Against Trafficking, and we are really grateful to have that public service announcement shared to us from our friends at Chrome and Steel Radio. Idella, had you heard that before?
No, I hadn't heard that one before. I really appreciate that. I noticed a lot of the posts on Facebook and stuff and the comments and calling the ladies names, and it's getting so it really, really bothers me. It bothers me. So, yes, trafficking. Truckers Against Trafficking is a fantastic group.
Yeah. So, the guys at Chrome and Steel, they ripped the audio from the cat video of that segment and made it into an audio, and they gave it to me, and they gave it to Pat because Kyla and Candace didn't even have it. So now, you know, anybody that's listening that has a Blog Talk Radio or any kind of radio, use it because it's awesome. So,
they did a fantastic job.
They did. I love it. Officer Hoover, have you heard
absolutely.
Of Truckers Against Trafficking?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have. And I was real proud of our agency that passed our end of the year in service for all of the Indiana State Police inspectors. We had a segment on Truckers Against Trafficking. And with our state noticed a little bit of an influx of underage trafficking when we hosted the Super Bowl a few years ago in Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah.
So we had an influx of some issues there. But, yes, our agency is a big supporter of that. And I'm like, if we weren't on the air, I'd have some other choice words to say for individuals that do that. But I'm going to stick to being a professional and not go there. I'm sure you ladies understand what I'm referencing. So being the father of a 3- and 4-year-old daughters, I'm a big supporter of that group. So
okay, cool. All right, so let's get back to this personal conveyance. What is it? What does it say, and how are drivers using it?
All right, basically, if you're Googling or anything like that, you can Google federal regs at the FMCSA site 395.8. Basically, when it comes to personal conveyance, there's two things that you need to be aware of to utilize personal conveyance. Basically, personal conveyance is you're at a location, whether it be a truck stop, a shipper, somewhere that you're going to be spending your 10-hour break, and you can travel a few minutes down the road to, say, a restaurant or something like that, and convey back. Or say you're on your 34-hour restart on the road, you stop, you get a motel somewhere that you're going to spend a long weekend at, then you can utilize your CMV. It says unladen, and I've had some Facebook talk of trying to define laden. Is laden still meaning an unloaded trailer? Our agency's always considered it as just a bobtail unit as far as unladen. I know some other agencies, yes, as long as the trailer's empty. But so basically, you got your first criteria that you're utilizing it for a short distance, you're leaving where you're staying, and you're coming right back. The second way to look at it is if you are being, basically, you live close to where you're being dispatched from, say you drive your CMV from your physical residence down the road 15, 20 miles to the terminal, and then you receive your dispatch orders, you could utilize that in either that aspect or returning from that terminal home unpaid status. What gets a lot of people confused is they think that they can basically, well, I'm not being paid, and this parking lot's full, I'm going to drive another 30 minutes down the road to another spot that there may be a parking space. I'm not getting paid, but I'm just doing, no, that would not fit the criteria for personal conveyance.
Because you're advancing the load, right?
Exactly. You nailed exactly what I was getting ready to say on the head. The big key, even unloaded, had a gentleman say, we got to looking at his logbook and was like, how is he covering this amount of miles in this little of time? And through talking to him, interviewing him, he was totally, basically, he would pick up a load, run it out there, run halfway to three-quarters of the way back home, and then would run out of time and would just note it personal conveyance the last 2 or 3, 4 hours back to his home. And we're like, you know, and we're like, no, you can't do that. And he's like, well, I was off. I wasn't getting paid because I got paid for my trip here to trip out, and I was heading back home. We're like, yeah, to where you're being redispatched, you know. So there's a lot of different ways you can view it. Yesterday I had a situation, asked the driver, I said, on your logbook or on your electronic log here, it shows 7 minutes off duty, you know, or on, you know, off duty. What were you doing here? Why does it say the truck was moved? Well, I had to jockey the truck in the parking lot or something like that. And it was kind of like, well, no, you know, you can't really be doing that either. You know, you got to be real careful on that as well.
Okay. So if they dropped their trailer and they went somewhere because they had to get something to eat and they came back to their trailer or whatever, you know, maybe they lived 30
mm-hmm.
minutes away
mm-hmm.
or something, but they came back
yep.
to the loaded trailer,
yep.
but they're not advancing the load towards its destination, or even
correct.
If it's empty.
Correct.
That's
because
the difference.
It was somewhere, restaurant or hotel to a restaurant, something like that, and that's your only means of transportation, yes. Yes,
okay.
You nailed it on the head. The big thing is, are you loaded? Are you advancing the load? Or how far, you know, it's something set up for short distances.
Okay.
So,
because the truck parking is an issue, and that's, you know, we're getting towards the end of the time and stuff. But the truck parking you mentioned, that is sometimes when you're like, okay, I think I can make it to this place. Well, then
mm-hmm.
you get to this place
mm-hmm.
and it's packed, and you get to
yeah.
the next place and it's packed, and then you start getting desperate. And a lot of drivers, you know, they'll say, well, I know the couple of the way stations, they have a safe haven for drivers, but there's some
mm-hmm.
drivers that say,
mm-hmm.
oh, you're just asking for an inspection if you go into a way station to park.
And
not all
yeah.
way stations let you. So tell
yeah.
us about your area.
Well, here at the Terre Haute Scales, we've got a really large parking lot. We've got roughly 40-some spaces, somewhere in there, 35 to 40. And we encourage people to stop and spend a rest break. This is coming straight from I spoke to the head guy there at the Scales and said, Ron, do you go out, knock on doors, and run people off or do inspections? He said, absolutely not. We want people to stop, get their break in. If it's through normal business hours, we do have restroom facilities for the drivers. If it's through Monday through Friday, you know, normal business hours, we do have those facilities open. If we're closed, unfortunately not at this time. But in some scale facilities, they just don't have the room. And when they're open, they need those spots for other things. But the vast majority, and that's something that a few months back I got into a big discussion. I tried to spread that word, but got a lot of negativity, not so much for me trying, but just for drivers saying, well, that's bull. They come out, they do inspections, da-da-da-da-da. That's something that just, one of my, not necessarily pet peeves, my biggest issue about DOT inspectors, I hate it. When I hear if a truck is legally parked, and I mean legally parked, as in proper space, it's not out blocking, you know, hopefully you ladies understand what I mean. It's legally parked. There should be no reason for us to go, and I was trying to get one driver to understand. I'm like, bud, the only way I'm going to come and knock on your door is if your truck's on fire and I'm trying to get you out. I said, there's no other reason for, you know, in my opinion, for us to be up there and absolutely not going around truck stops or rest parks, knocking on doors to do inspections. You know, now
yeah.
if we got a truck that's illegally parked or, we've had trucks, I got called a residential neighborhood one time, report of a semi-tractor trailer, you know, parked. And woke him up, and well, when at 2 o'clock in the morning, I thought it was an empty subdivision. Then at 7-8 o'clock in the morning, there he was blocking someone's mailbox and driveway. And then it was you need to kind of move along a little bit or move to the end of the street, that type thing. But yes, that is one of the biggest shortcomings I think today, and I know you're aware of it, is the parking issue.
Yeah,
and I think it's one of those deals, you know, the country's growing every day, but yet our infrastructure, parking, you know, all this is not. And it just...
Yeah.
So and to where, me personally, if I get I had a driver this morning, did an inspection. I asked him, bud, I said, on your electronic logs, it shows you drove yesterday 11 hours and 7 minutes. what was your justification for going 7 minutes over? He said, I was trying to get somewhere to park. I said, enough said, I understand. You know, and
right.
You need to be, so, but yes, parking is a big, big Achilles heel, I think, to the industry right now that needs to be addressed before a lot of other things, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But that's another day.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So we're getting to the end of our time, and you really helped us a lot understand some things. I want to ask one question because this sort of came up from this one. We did this show about women truckers safety, and a couple women brought up this, and you know, I think you're on my Facebook now, and I posted this picture that I shared from another page called Truckers Had Enough, and some conversation ensued with some lady truckers who had talked about male truckers seeing them driving, and once they see them driving, they start trying to run them off the road. They speed up, they slow down, they pass you. If you don't like acknowledge them, they start trying to merge into your lane and run you off the road. They start getting really aggressive with their driving, and the one girl said she was apprehensive about calling his company because then he might come after her more, and she was apprehensive about calling law enforcement because she didn't know if they would understand what she was talking about. And I have met one girl who said that when this happened to her, she went and pulled off into a truck stop and called out on the CB, and some other truckers blocked that bad guy so that she could get out and make her escape. But I wonder, as a law enforcement officer, if a call did come in like that, I mean, what would be the best way for a lady driver to report that this is happening? Because I think that it's reckless driving. Is there a...
Correct.
Is that the name?
Correct. Yes, basically, in the state of Indiana, that can be handled simply as dialing 911. You don't need to leave a name or anything. You can say, hey, I'm a female driver. I'm just going to use I-70 westbound at the 12-mile marker. There's a truck in front of me that the last 4 miles been, you know, aggressive drive and unsafe lane movement all over the roadway. And what our 911 dispatchers will do is put out a dispatch to any officers out on the interstate to be looking for that reckless driving vehicle. And then we can set up and stop that vehicle if the officer does see unsafe lane movement, following too close, anything like that. We can stop and take enforcement action. Or if it's someone like an inspector like me, if he cleans up his act and he comes by me, he's 3 miles an hour below the limit, you know, following every traffic law, but I've still got that dispatch on him, I'm still going to stop him, and I'm going to say, bud, you know, we had a 911 call. What's going on, you know? And then by the time I get done with him, 20, 30, 45 minutes, depending on how things go, that's given her that room she needed to advance down the roadway. So I don't think anyone needs to be fearful of ever, hey, something like that, you're exactly right. He's breaking traffic laws. He's breaking a lot of safety stuff. Dial 911, let us know. Because we can do it, and especially if they're getting threatened or anything like that, a lot of agencies, they don't require a name, anything like that. Just say, hey, this is what was going on. So.
All right. Thank you. So I think that this show's been really awesome, and I hope that you will come back sometime. Idella?
Oh, I'd love to. Love to.
Did you have any other questions? I think that I suspect that Officer Brett Hoover has babysitting detail tonight.
That's what it sounds like. But there is one thing, and I've always said that you can't babysit your own kids.
No, my wife tells me that all the time. I said, "Well, I got to get home and babysit." She's like, "No, you're spending time with your children and all that."
It's
but yes,
quality
mom is,
time with your children.
Mom, yep. And
while they're running around
and,
like,
lady after my own heart. No, I don't have any more questions for Officer Brent. I do thank him very kindly for coming on. And over the course of time, when we have him back, I'll have some more scenarios for him to cover, and I might accidentally give him a heads up before I ask him, maybe.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Any chance I can do a little bit of homework and not look like a total fool out here, that'd be better. But no, I appreciate it. I've had a real good time. And like I said, hopefully anyone listening that, you know, the big thing is we're looking for safety. Sometimes it doesn't sound like that. Sometimes it doesn't come across as that. And biggest thing is driver attitude. For me, I don't write a lot of tickets because I don't have a lot of drivers with attitudes. You know, I hit it hard yesterday. We had nice weather, stopped 8 trucks, 7 drivers from the get-go, outstanding guys. 8th one, he decided to be a little bit of a jerk, and I had to kind of verbally go, bud, really, you know, calm down, let's do this, and then everything was fine. But, you know, I've had a great time and would love to come back and go through anything. So.
Okay. All right. Well, if you can deal with little girls, you can definitely deal with some lady truckers.
Oh yeah, I've ran a few and never had too much trouble with them. So.
I can hear them in the back. They're so cute. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
you go spend some quality time, and thank you so much for your time. And we'll see you on Facebook, and we'll have you again with us soon. All right. And
thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Yep. And anybody can find me on Facebook. So. Brent
okay,
Hoover.
How can
Thank
we find you.
You
on Facebook?
Search Brent Hoover.
Okay.
And then, like I said, I got a lot of truck personnel on there, and I still get the occasional questions and don't mind helping out, answering any questions. So.
If somebody's got a written question. All right, sounds good. All right, thank you, everybody. Have a nice evening, and good night.
Good night, Desiree.
Good night.